everyone, welcome back to the Rockcast. Jordan Budd here on a Saturday morning, and on the other line I have Mike Carrigan, and we're going to talk backpacking stoves. Mike is a Rockslide member and was kind enough to hop on with us this morning, so thanks for taking the time, Mike.
Well, thanks for inviting me.
Definitely, yeah. So kind of the first thing I just wanted to cover quick was a little bit of your background as far as like the backpacking and camping and, you know, how you got to try so many stoves.
I've been backpack hunting for probably 36, 37 years. Tried quite a few different stoves over the years and did a lot of backpacking just in general, and got to use lots of different stuff. I've kind of like a gearhead, I guess, when you come to stoves. I've bought and tried quite a few over the years.
That's awesome. Yeah. Well, Rockslide's a good place to go and get to talk about all that stuff. There's a lot of gearheads on there, including me.
Yeah, I hear you.
Yeah. So, first thing I just wanted to cover, maybe like, can you talk about some different options for backpacking stoves? Like, you know, picture somebody just getting into it and they have all these options and there's all kinds of different fuel, options that they could go with. Could you just kind of break those down real quick?
Sure. There's quite a few different stoves you can consider for backpacking. First, you've got solid fuel stoves. Basically those are going to be like your S-bit, the stoves that use alcohol tablets or S-bit tablets or trioxane tablets. There's going to be your alcohol stoves. Those are typically more for your ultralight side. They're basically like your pop can type stoves, your Trangia stoves, your basically stoves that run off like a denatured alcohol, or you can also use heat. You're going to have your liquid fuel stoves. Basically those type of stoves they run off of white gas. Some of them have multi-fuels. They run off white gas, kerosene, unleaded fuel. Some run off diesel fuel. They're typically going to be a little heavier. Then you also have your wood burning stoves. They make some nice little wood burning stoves. If that's your gig, they have like the solo stoves and the firebox, the honey stoves. They also have, your canister fuel stoves. Those are going to be typically what a lot of guys are using anymore, for backpacking. It's basically a little screw on gas canister. It's a vapor canister, and, they're pretty lightweight. They're easy to use, real fuel efficient. There's no pumping or priming required. You just screw them on, pull out your pop fins, and light the stove. So they're pretty easy to use.
Yeah, I would say probably liquid and then those canister stoves are probably the two most talked about, I would say.
Yeah, I think so too.
Yeah. Do you have recommendations for like when to use either of those and when not to use them?
Yeah. And, typically when it's colder, high altitudes, you're going to want to use your liquid fuel stoves, although your canister stoves will work at high altitude. The colder the temperatures get, basically if you get below 20 degrees, you're going to have a lot more problem using a canister stove, basically because your vapor in your canister loses pressure and your vapor doesn't work as well. And it makes your fuel, your canister less fuel efficient. But basically your liquid fuel stoves, they're a little cheaper to run. Basically on a can of fuel, you're going to typically cost you $1.50, $1.60, something like that, versus a canister is going to run you about $6 for your fuel. But the liquid fuels are a little more durable. They work better in extreme conditions when it's very cold or high winds. What's cool about the liquid fuel stoves, unlike the canister stoves, is they usually have a fuel line coming off the canister, and you can block it with a windscreen so you can get really good protection from the wind when you're using a liquid fuel stove. So typically your liquid fuel stoves are going to be a little better for meals or groups, or if you're using larger pots, or if you're gourmet cooking, things like that. Some of the liquid fuel stoves, like I mentioned earlier, will use multi-fuel. So if you're in other countries where certain fuels aren't available, you can actually change out the jets in some of the stoves, and you're able to use different fuels in those stoves. If you're using the stove quite a bit, I mean, if you're backpacking quite a bit, and it's probably a good reason to go with a liquid fuel stove because you're burning a lot more fuel. It's a lot cheaper to run. They're actually pretty durable. The only downsides to a liquid fuel stove is they're just a little heavier. You're going to have to prime them. So basically you pump up your fuel canister, you open the valve, let a little bit of fuel in, then you light the fuel, let the fuel burn off a little bit. And then what that does, it heats the stove up, and it creates a vapor to where when you do open the valve just a tiny bit, once the fuel starts burning down, it creates a nice blue flame. But basically it just takes a few seconds longer to do that. With a liquid fuel stove, you're going to have a little more maintenance than you are a gas can or a canister fuel stove. Basically, if you're just running white gas in them, you're not going to have too much maintenance. I think it's the Dragonfly has a shaker technology. You shake it a little bit and it cleans the jets. But typically, if you're running white fuel, you're not going to have a whole lot of maintenance to a liquid fuel stove. And the fuel canister stoves, the pros on them, they're really lightweight, compact, easy to use, very fuel efficient. There's no pumping or priming. The cons, the fuel's a little more expensive. They don't work as well in the cold. Once you get down past 20 degrees, as long as you can keep your can warm, if you keep your can in your pocket or in your sleeping bag, something like that, keep it warm, you shouldn't have too many problems using your stove. Some people complain a little bit about knowing how much fuel you have in your canister with a canister stove, how much you have left. Kind of one of the cool things with the MSR IsoPro fuel, they have a little float gauge on the side. So you can actually, if you're near a stream or some water, you can set the canister in some water and it has a little gauge on the side, depending on how much fuel you have left in your canister. And you kind of get a good idea how much fuel is left.
Yeah, that's genius. How many burns do you typically get out of like a small canister?
So your small canisters are going to be around 4 ounces. Your larger one's about 8 ounces, and they also make a 16 ounce. But on your 4 ounce, it's going to really depend on the stove that you're using. Mm-hmm. Traditionally, most stoves are tested at sea level, about 70 degrees with no wind. So when asking about burn time, we have to take into effect the temperature of the water, how cold the ambient temperature is, the altitude we're at, and the wind. This all will affect how much fuel you use. If we kind of a general guideline, like the MSR Pocket Rocket, that's a good, pretty popular stove on the market. MSR says you get about 60 minutes on an 8 ounce canister and 30 minutes on a 4 ounce canister of burn time. So typically most backpackers and hunters maybe that are boiling dehydrated meals are going to use probably 2 cups of water at a time. So with a Pocket Rocket, you typically get about a 3 minute, 15 second burn time. Generally, that's a good condition. So you got to remember that. So if you did, a couple burns a day, I would say you can you'd be pushing it, but you could probably get 4 days out of that, be really close. But it all depends on how much wind you have. I mean, if you have a 5 mile per hour wind, that can change your burn time up to 2 to 3 times to get it to a boil. So yeah, there's different things that really affect your burn times for your boiling. And the higher you go in altitude, it's also your boiling level is going to boil quicker, boil at a lower temperature. So it's also going to take a little longer to get your food cooked. So that all that stuff kind of factors in. I guess some of the general guidelines is know how much fuel, basically do a burn on your stove, maybe see how much fuel it takes to burn 2 cups, and that'll give you a general idea. Also, on the MSR's website, they have quite a few different stoves, and they give you burn, basically how much fuel is used per liter of water. So basically, like on the Pocket Rocket, they say you get, let's see here, 2 liters of water boiled per ounce of fuel. So basically you can go through and kind of pick out the stove that you're using and kind of get a good guideline. But I'd rather have extra fuel coming back than less fuel coming back. So if I'm out hunting or backpacking and I'm really pushing it close, I don't want to have to dehydrate my meal with cold water.
Yeah.
That's just me.
Yep. I totally agree with that. So one of the questions that we got, I did a little thing on Instagram kind of asking people if they had any questions on this. And one question that came back was regulated versus a non-regulated stove.
Okay. Yeah. Most backpacking stoves aren't pressure regulated. Some of the newer ones are. And basically, the stove with the regulator isn't hindered by the drop in canister pressure. So when as you're using more fuel, your canister pressure is going to drop. Or if you're in colder temperatures, your canister pressure is going to drop. And basically, a pressure regulator will boost the efficiency of your stove. So the stoves that have a regulator, it's a valve inside the stove, and it opens and closes based on atmospheric pressure. And it lets more or less fuel in towards the jet. And basically what that does, it makes your stove more fuel efficient. So if you do have one with a pressure regulator, it's going to generally perform better in colder temperatures, or if you're low on fuel, you know, they just perform better.
Mm-hmm. Okay, cool. What does your stove kit look like? I think especially like from early to late season, do you have a couple of different stoves that you're using from early to late?
Yeah. I've been stuck on a couple of stoves for quite a while now, cause they work really well for me. And the Pocket Rock is a really good stove. I don't use that stove. I use a Snow Peak Gigapower 2.0. It's been a really good stove for me. I've used it at high altitudes, never had a problem. The only time I've ever had a problem is rifle hunting. Temperatures got really cold and it started spitting and sputtering a little bit. But I use the Gigapower. I use a Snow Peak Trek 700 titanium cup. And with the titanium cups, you have to use, if you're going to drink out of the cup, or if you pull it off the burner, you have to use these little silicone, I don't know what you call them. They're called hot lips, basically. And they set on the edge of your cup so you can drink out of your cup. Mm-hmm. But I use those. And I also use the MSR reactor. And that's one of my favorite stoves. If I'm going with more than one person, I can boil water for multiple people really fast. It's great in the wind. But those are my two favorite stoves that I use all the time.
Awesome. Do you have kind of a preference on those all-in-one systems versus like making your own kit?
I have both. I mean, I have the jet boils. I've used the wind burner. My buddy has that one. It kind of comes down to weight, and if you want an all-in-one that's better in the wind, basically your all-in-one systems are going to be a little heavier, a little more efficient with their fuel. They're a little better in windy conditions. The wind burner and the reactor stoves, they're kind of in a different league. They have a radiant burner. They don't use a flame. So they're going to be even better in your windy conditions versus just an ultralight system like I typically use, just a lightweight canister stove. Typically they're 3 to 4 ounces or less, and you have your canister, and basically I use the titanium cup, and basically my whole setup is like 7 ounces. If you're really cutting ounces, I would recommend going with your own system with like a titanium pot or a GSI pot minimalist. There's so many different ones on the market. But I typically want something that's going to hold at least 2 cups of water. But what's cool about the little canister stoves, when I'm out hunting and backpacking, what I do is I take a lot of my meals with me while I'm out hunting. I don't just make my meals at camp, but I'll take them out hunting with me. And a lot of times I like a really small cup that I can use a shorter spoon. I don't have to use a real long spoon. Typically with your all-in-one stove systems, they're typically a little taller. You're going to have to use a longer spoon, but I like something that simmers really well. I can take it out in the woods. I can dump a little bit of water in my pot, put a little bit of my meal in the pot, and I can cook a little tiny bit at a time. I don't have to cook a whole meal at a time. And then I just rinse a little water in there and drink the water after I'm done. And typically I can just kind of refuel throughout the day doing my hunts like that. So that's kind of what I use myself.
That's super interesting. I know we talked about the pocket rocket. That's the first stove that I ever got, and I still have it, actually. I went to a Soto Windmaster because I was told it was a little bit more efficient. Right after that, they came out with the pocket rocket too. Have you messed with the second one and the first one at all?
I have. The first one and the second one are pretty close. The second one, you're going to get, the boil times are really close. They're only about 15 seconds apart. The weights are, the Pocket Rocket 2 is going to be a little bit lighter. They actually have a newer one now that just came out too, the deluxe model. And it's kind of cool too, because it comes in around 2.9 ounces. It does have a pressure regulator on it if you're worried about the cold. And I've heard that I haven't used this one yet, that it blocks the wind very well. It has a piezo lighter built into it if you like that feature. Some people don't, some people do. But the Pocket Rocket in general, both of them, all three of them, they're very, very good stoves. So if money's an issue, either any of them are going to work really well.
Yeah, they're about, I think I paid $40 for the first one that I had. And of course, they don't sell those anymore. But the Pocket Rocket 2, I think, comes in at like $45. And then if you add like a little GSI titanium pod or minimal, I use that minimalist cup quite a bit just because I've had that system for 7 years, probably 7, 8 years. And
wow. Yeah,
it's been great. Like it's never gone down on me. And I, still using the same pot today. So, and that total cost there is like $80-$90, and then add a couple canisters in it with it. You kind of have a whole system for $100, and those all-in-ones, you kind of start it. Well, the jet boils have seemed to gone down in price, I thought.
Right. Yeah, they have. The wind burner is also a really good all-in-one. If you want an all-in-one system, they have the radiant burner. They don't have a piezo lighter on them, but you get the newer ones, they do simmer pretty well. But if you're worried about the wind and the cold and things like that, I would recommend something like a wind burner or, some of the newer jet boils, the Minimo, that's a regulated stove. It's great, does great simmering. But if you're into kind of the ounce counting Packer, I would go with something like you have, like the Pocket Rocket and a GSI Minimalist. That's a great setup.
Cool. Yeah, I was, we're going to actually get, Black Ovis is sending some stoves out. We're going to get like a Jetboil Flash, an MSR Reactor, and then I'm going to have my Pocket Rocket. I might end up getting the Pocket Rocket too, just for a better, a little bit more updated comparison, I guess. And then that Soto. And we're just going to do kind of a head-to-head review on some of those. But that, the reactor versus a wind burner, just looking at it on their website, the wind burner looks like it sits, like it total, it sits higher than their reactor. And the reactor looks like it cuts wind better, but I don't, I you know, I haven't got them yet. But just looking at their website, that's kind of why I veered away from the wind burner.
Yeah, we've been out hunting a few times. My buddy has the wind burner and I've taken my reactor and they both work super well. Like I said before, the wind burner is going to be a taller setup. So it is a little harder to get your food out. You're going to have to use a longer spoon. It's a little, typically a little harder to clean. You have a, basically you have the foam around the cup. You'd probably want to take that off if you're cleaning it, if you got some food on it or something like that, where versus reactor, it sets a little lower, boils super fast. I can't remember how fast my reactor boils. It's screaming fast, like a minute and a half or something like that. Jeez. But, it's really easy to clean. It's great. If you want to take one stove for two guys or whatever like that. I use a 1 liter, but it boils so fast. I mean, you can do coffee and meals in the morning super fast. So they both are great stoves. It just depends on preference, I guess. They're basically wind burner. That was one of the top rated stoves for 2019. So, but, I don't have that one. My buddy does, but they're both great stoves.
Cool. Yeah. Good to know. I'd say like the downside to the reactor is just the price. Like it sounds like an awesome stove, but you do pay for it.
Yeah, you do. I like the 1 liter. It's just about the perfect size for me. They do make bigger ones. I've never had a problem with it. It's did everything I need to do super fast. I mean, it's a great stove. Like, I can't say enough good about it. It's a good stove. Yeah.
Cool. Kind of back to the liquid stoves real quick. Do you have recommendations for those?
Yeah. A really good one's been on the market for quite a few years. Your Dragonfly is going to be a really good stove. It simmers really well. You have a large cooking surface, great simmer control. It's great in the cold. You can use multi-fuels with that stove. You can use white gas, kerosene, unleaded gasoline, diesel fuel, jet fuel. You will have to change out the jets, and certain fuels will have to clean the jets more often. But that's a really good stove. There was another one. Let me see here. Whisper Light International white gas stove. That's kind of a cool stove the Universal. That's a cool stove because you can use the white gas, kerosene, and also you can change out the jets and you can use the IsoPro canisters. So it's kind of a really good all-around stove. You can do quite a bit with it. You can use the canisters or the liquid fuel if you're into that stuff. There's so many good ones on the market. The XGK white gas stove, that's a really good stove. That's been used on, or the XGK EX has been used on expeditions for years and years. And that's one of my first stoves I ever came out with, I ever used was the XGK. I've had that for probably 20 years. It's a great little stove for a liquid fuel stove.
Would there be any downsides of going with that Universal?
Changing out the jets would be one thing. You'll have to carry a little kit with you for changing out the jets or possibly cleaning the jets once in a while. But the cool thing is you can invert the canister if it's really cold. It comes with a little stand you could put on the the canister, flip it upside down, which basically turns it into a liquid fuel stove. And that would probably be the only downside. This is going to be a little heavier stove than your canister stoves, but, you know, good all-around stove.
Mm-hmm. Cool. We have one more question that came in from a listener. He says, I'm pretty sure this came from like the Team Backcountry crew. I've heard some fuels don't like high elevations, but he hasn't encountered that and just kind of wants to know what the deal is. I'd take that away. I'm not sure.
I've never had problems in the high altitudes with my stoves. I have with cold. Basically, your inverted or pressure regulated stoves are going to work very well at high altitudes, even over 12,000 feet. Basically, if you're worried about the cold or high altitudes, you know, liquid fuel stoves, always a good stove to go with if you're going to encounter cold and high altitudes both. But there's, any of your stoves like the reactor, the wind burner, wind pro, you can also invert that stove. Some of your newer jet boils with the pressure regulators built in, those are going to work really well at the higher altitudes. Your MSR XGKEXs are great for high altitudes. So if you're worried about that kind of stuff, which, you know, I've hunted and backpacked for years and years at high altitudes, and I haven't had really that many problems with gas canister stoves. But if you're hunting typically in the later fall where you're going to get the really cold temperatures, you're going to have to be a little more careful with your gas canister stoves. If you're going to want to use those, you're going to have to keep the canisters a little warmer or switch over to a liquid fuel stove.
Cool. Yeah, that totally makes sense to me. Well, that's really what I wanted to cover, and I think we covered it really well. Is there anything else you wanted to add?
No, that's about it.
Yeah, I think we hit it really well. Well, I thank you again for taking some time to come on. We had to reschedule a couple times, but this is going to be a super good episode.
Well, good. I'm glad everybody enjoyed it, and I'm glad you invited me on. Thank you.
Definitely. Yep. Thanks, Mike.